I trust that, and this has been my prayer, that you would be encouraged as you hear about what God is doing through house churches around the world. And I trust that you will also be inspired. Inspired that you too, if you're not already doing so, could start a house church or a neighborhood group with unsaved people and reach out to them that way. And so what I'm going to do is give you just a brief overview of where we're going this afternoon. We're going to look at some different parts of the world and see what God is doing through house churches. We're going to look at characteristics of church planting movements, and these are common characteristics that are true of virtually all of these house church movements. And then finally, getting started. What if God is putting on your heart to be a part of a house church or to grow another house church? How would you go about doing that? So house church case studies, let's take a look around the world. First of all, worldwide, it's approximately, it's estimated that worldwide there are approximately 450 million Christians who are a part of conventional churches. I pastored in a conventional church for 16 years. This is a typical church with a church building, certain structures and traditions, and many, many Christians are a part of these around the world. It's estimated 10 million are involved in cell-based churches, and another 450 million in simple organic structures such as house churches or meeting outside. Now, obviously, it's hard to really gauge how many Christians there are in the world. Some would say there's more than a billion and so forth. But this gives you at least an idea of the types of structures that God are using in reaching people and making disciples. And I think it's exciting. It's not an either or. It's a both and. God is creative. Way more creative than I am. And so he is using many different ways to reach people for himself. Well, China is probably the place that comes to mind right away when you think about house churches. What's been happening in China? Let me just give you an overview. We could talk for hours about China. China went from having approximately 5 million Christians before 1949 when the communists took over, and now estimates range from 80 to 130 million people who are believers in China. It's been amazing as the church has gone underground and then resurfaced in the Three Self Patriotic Movement, the government-sanctioned church. God has really blessed the church in China. Tens of millions of these are part of house churches. And it's interesting that the house church leaders have said that even if freedom comes, complete religious freedom, we will continue with the house church approach because we believe that it is dynamic, it is vital, and it is a wonderful place to make disciples. House church leaders in China have a grand plan. Some of you may have read about it in the book Back to Jerusalem or heard about it, of sending out 100,000 missionaries into the 1040 window, regions where Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism dominate. Really unreached countries, and they're well on their way to achieving that goal. I'd highly recommend Back to Jerusalem, the book, if you're interested in reading more about China. Well, let's flip over to India. Again, the site of another amazing work of God through house churches, but in other ways as well. Victor Chowdhury is a leading spokesman for house churches, and he estimates in the last few years 100,000 house churches have started in India. I taught a student just a couple years ago at Trinity who came from India, and he was part of the house church movement in India. Chowdhury says that these little house churches are like starfish. What happens when you chop a starfish? Yeah, exactly. Another starfish starts up, and that seems to be what's happening in India. The more you replicate, the more this thing seems to grow. Just a couple examples. An Indian housewife started 50 house churches in 1 year. Isn't that amazing? Just through her network, probably of friends and associates, and then she helped them start house churches. I mean, this is the kind of dynamic that reminds me of the New Testament. God moving in amazing ways, in out-of-control ways. And we like to control things. I like to control things. I want it to be contained, and yet when God is moving in powerful ways, it tends to defy containment. A PhD graduate and his 13-year-old son started a church with a street vendor. Again, just gives you a small glimpse of the kinds of things that are happening in India. What about in Nepal? Talk about children as young as 9 or 10 are starting churches in Nepal. Again, one of my students recently went to Nepal. He's with YWAM. and had the opportunity to speak to hundreds of Nepalese believers who came from all over, many of them walking. God is doing an incredible work in the country of Nepal. The Philippines, I had the opportunity to visit the Philippines a number of years ago, a place that's dear to my heart. A man by the name of Eamon Abria and partners saw the planting of almost 50 house churches again in just a one-year period. Another Filipino, Romulus Nakia, and a few others began 13 house churches in 2000 and now have a network of 400 house churches. The amazing thing that I find about the house churches, the house church movement, is the way that it can multiply so very quickly, because it happens naturally along relational lines. One person inviting one or two or four or five others to be a part of a discipleship kind of group, those people become Christians. They're equipped. They're taught how to win others. And within weeks, they too can be leading others to Jesus Christ. And in some of these movements, within months, like just a few months, they are leading their own house church. New believers, trained, equipped, thrown out into the harvest field and leading. We've heard a lot about Myanmar, haven't we, in the news? Can God be doing anything in this country? I noticed a seminar later today that's going to be talking about some different revolutionary movements, and the presenter will be talking a bit about Myanmar. There's a man there by the name of Ram Lian who has started the Household Church Mission. Currently, or at least last year, they had 10 students, again from Myanmar, planting 18 house churches. And they have a vision to see 1,000 of these house churches planted in the next 22 years. Their mission is to train leaders to start a church from their homes and multiply as God leads them to serve the world for Christ. I find it exciting to hear about what is happening in what we would consider a very repressive kind of country, but that doesn't stop God. He's still working. He's still bringing people to himself. And this is a good example of that. Well, let's flip over to Africa, the country of Ethiopia. Some of you probably remember the troubles politically that Ethiopia went through in 1982 to about 92 were probably some of the worst years. The Ethiopian government outlawed one particular denomination or church, the Meserete Christos Church, that had 14 congregations and 5,000 members. So they were in a spot, well, what do? We can no longer meet publicly. So they just started meeting in small groups, little churches. They went underground. And of course, the government's plan was that the church would die eventually, but that's not what happened. In fact, 10 years later, the church had increased by tenfold to 50,000. There's a video out, Against Great Odds, that talks more about what happened in Ethiopia. I'm just going to keep on flipping here, just snapshots of different parts of the world where God is using house churches. Russia is another example. A man by the name of Harold Zimmerman has an organization, and they supply literature to about 800 house churches in Russia, and there's many more, I'm sure, that are a part of the Christian landscape in Russia. Some of you may have heard about the house church movement in Britain in the 1970s. Many of these house churches grew. They decided to go into larger facilities and became known as new churches in Britain. And so one would think that the house church movement has waned in Britain. I think that would be fair to say. But Noble, someone who went through this movement, has said that he feels that the house church movement in Britain did much to restore vitality to the church in Britain. So here we see another example of how God uses house churches to restore vitality. It's not the house churches, it's not the forms themselves, but it's a return to biblical essentials, the essentials of church. And that's what really God is honoring, I believe. Our neighbors to the south, I met some, there's a few of you here from the United States. What is God doing in house churches in the U.S.? Well, it's estimated that there are probably about 5 million people involved in house churches in the United States, and that's a very conservative estimate. I've heard as high as 20 million. and perhaps 100,000 house churches. It's one of the hardest things about house churches. I mean, there's so many of them that are just meeting and they're off the radar screen. You don't necessarily know how many are happening out there. Let me give you an example of one house church movement in the United States. Neil Cole, and some of you may have heard of Neil Cole, he's written a book called Organic Church. And this is one of those books that I would highly recommend if you're interested in relational evangelism, if you're interested in disciple making in small groups. But he's written this book. He just went out to meet with people in a coffee shop. And so he began to befriend people, play chess with people, and soon there was these spiritually meaningful conversations that were happening. People accepted the Lord. So now what do you do? These weren't ones to come to a conventional church. So they just said, well, let's just keep meeting in the coffee shop. And discipleship took place. They wanted to reach others. And so something was starting. God was doing something. In that first year, they were able to start 10 churches. All right, starting in that one coffee shop and spreading from there. The next year, 52. On average, one a week. And then two a week. And as of last year, they have over 1,000 of these churches in 36 states and 31 nations. That's not Neil Cole. That's not the people. That's God. That's God blessing something. That's God growing something. And to Him be the glory. George Barna has written a wonderful book called Revolution. I think it's probably on the floor there if you're interested, where he talks about current trends in the United States within the church. Barna sometimes is a bit controversial. Either people really like him or they don't, or at least they don't like what he says. But in his book, he says that in the year 2000, based on his research, 70% of Christians in the U.S. were involved in a conventional church, 5% in alternative faith-based communities, such as house churches, cyber churches, marketplace churches, 5% family, 20% media, arts, and culture. He's projected that that's going to change in the next several years. By 2025, he figures 30 to 35% will be in a conventional church, a much higher percentage in alternative faith-based community, family the same, and more involved in media, arts, and culture. If this is going to happen, and everything seems to be pointing that way, both in the U.S. and I would say Canada too, maybe not as quickly in Canada, but I think that that has significant implications for the church. Something that we'd best think through now before we're left with many, many empty church buildings. What about here in Canada? There's a Canadian house church network. I've given you the URL, the website for them. They put out a newsletter periodically that gives you some very interesting information about what's happening in the house churches in Canada. You can go to that website and get in touch with the person who sends that out. Ross Raines, former executive director of Navigators Canada, has started a house church network called Pathfinders. They have now 11 house churches across Canada. As Richard said in the introduction, I'm involved with The Journey along with my family, and we have a small network of house churches. We're passionate about coming alongside others to assist as God nudges people, individuals, groups, and churches to start house churches to somehow, as we can, to support them in that vision. Let's look at a few more countries further south. Cuba. Well, a couple big things happened in Cuba in the 1990s. There were severe fuel shortages, so people were loath to get in their vehicles and travel anywhere. Also, the government really began to clamp down on Protestants in particular. Castro let the Pope at that time come in and have a huge mass in Cuba, and at the same time, Protestants were suppressed even more. So Castro was stamping out Protestantism. No, not exactly. People just started meeting in house churches. And today there are approximately 10,000 house churches in Cuba. Guy Muse is a missionary with the International Mission Board in Ecuador. And this is a Southern Baptist mission. And he writes about having started 250 of these house churches over a 7-8-year period. Interestingly enough, only half of them are in existence today. I think that's an important thing as we think about the house church movement. The attrition rate is fairly high. All right, we've noticed that in the Lower Mainland. We planted 4 churches in the last couple years, and 2 of them have disappeared, mainly because people have moved to other areas. One of those families moved to Florida, and they've started one there. So maybe that's God's way of spreading things around. I want to touch just briefly on basic ecclesial communities. These are small communities within the Catholic Church. I don't have current statistics, but 20 years ago, there were approximately 100,000 of these basic ecclesial communities in the Catholic Church around the world. God is using them in amazing ways. When you read about revivals happening within the Catholic Church, I think at least some of the time it's happening because of these small communities. They get together, that they pour themselves into each other's lives, and there's a real coming together around Scripture. The final area, final case study I'd like us to touch down on is the Muslim world. Those who are involved in Muslim ministry estimate that in the last 20 years, more Muslims have come to Christ than any other time in history. If you added up all the Muslim converts over the years, there's more that have come to Christ in the last 20 years than all that before. And so, again, God is moving amongst Muslim people, and it's exciting to see that. Let me give you just one example. In an Asian Muslim country, more than 150,000 Muslims have accepted Christ and are now meeting in 3,000 Jesus groups or house churches. Now, think about the implications of that. For most of those Muslims, becoming a Christian could mean loss of job, loss of family, loss of life. I look at that and I go, you know, Lord, if that can happen in a Muslim country, it can happen here. It can happen anywhere in the world, because God is amazing and His Spirit wants to bring people to Himself. So those are some case studies, just some snapshots of what I've heard God is doing around the world. So much more could be said, but our time is limited.